65,498 square miles. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get to it. This is Spanning the State, and here are your hosts, Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
Good afternoon. Happy Monday. We are back.
We are back.
We're back at it, Brian.
Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I was solo parenting. Mike was in Vegas.
Oh, wow. All
My right. parents were here till Saturday. So a lot of moving parts, but they were definitely helping out.
They were definitely helping out.
How was your weekend?
It was uneventful, which was great. Did a little work with my mom at my mom's place, some stuff around the house. Yesterday, I never left the house. It was beautiful.
Love that.
It was fantastic.
Did not snow down there for you, though.
No snow.
I was very surprised when we woke up Sunday morning to see a layer of snow that's basically now gone. But
No snow. I was happy. I was grilling out all weekend. It was terrific.
All right.
So now we're back to see what fresh hell has been unleashed.
Well, it is. Is Black History Month. And at least for now, it is still a thing that is recognized both by us on this show and by the federal government. So we are celebrating all month long with some dabbling of Wisconsin Black history.
Okay.
You maybe, likely, didn't learn in school. And today we are kicking it off with the director of a new full-length documentary project that is in the works called Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover story. Now, you might remember we heard a little bit about the Joshua Glover story when John Gerda was here last month. And so we found out that there's an entire documentary being made on the story. So we're going to do that the second half of this hour. And then it is also a beloved character's birthday today.
Ooh.
And I want to know if Brian can guess who it is based on a couple clues that I have.
Wagers. I like this. Games of chance. Then after 2 o'clock, of course, we will spin the state. We're going. Here's another piece of history you may not have known about. The 1975 Alexian Brothers Novitiate standoff. Well, it's celebrating its 50th year, our 50th anniversary, and our own Adam Roberts did a great feature on that, so we'll learn about that. And then the fabulous Farm Babe will join us. A lot going on in the last 2 weeks with a lot of new policies, a lot of proposed things. How is that going to affect the agricultural scene, not only in the U.S., but right here in Wisconsin? So we'll get to that.
Fabulous Farm Babe. Speaking of the last 2 weeks, there was a lot that happened just over the weekend.
Yes, there was.
What is your go-to on the weekend? Is it to stay dialed in or to check out?
I'll be honest, it used to be to check out. Used to be when my show was on, like when I was doing nights at 9 o'clock on Friday, I was done until Monday. But now, unfortunately, I can't. And I was trying to force myself. I could not stop.
You could not. It was the car crash that you couldn't look away from?
It was like, everything's burning. Let me see. Oh, hey, it's burning on this website. But the one bright spot is I do seem to have messed with Instagram's algorithm.
How so?
Well, now my feed is full of pandas, penguins, and knot tying.
Like nautical knot tying?
Nautical knot tying,
okay.
Camping knot tying, how I can tie my a trailer to my car with just a rope. I don't know why.
Is this like a skill that you're trying to acquire?
I have never looked up how to tie a knot. I have no knowledge
about. Double knot your shoes? Is that the closest thing to a knot that you do?
I do double knot the shoes, and I can still make a square knot from when I was a Boy Scout. But I showed this to Debbie yesterday. I said, look at this. I said knot, and then about 2 more posts. Look, another knot. Oh, here's a panda playing in the snow. And here's a knot. A serpentine knot.
That sounds like a lovely side of the internet to be on.
It's not bad. It's a lot less stressful.
Well, because I got a text from my husband over the weekend be like, what is happening between a trade war, crypto tanked, and Luka Doncic being traded?
Yes.
So when we come back, we're going to test out a new segment we're calling Did You Hear? And we're going to run down everything that happened over the weekend. So stay with us on Spanning the State.
It is Spanning the State, your audio grapevine for all the information.
For all the information. See if we can actually run down. I don't even think we're going to be able to do in this segment alone how much news happened over this weekend. A time when, most people are trying to relax, enjoy time with their family, not be doom scrolling the whole weekend. And yet there was so much that happened that I still don't feel like I've totally wrapped my head around it.
No.
But we're going to take a shot at it. We're going to take a shot at some of the things you may have missed over this weekend. Where do you want to start?
All right. Have you heard about the Smoot-Hawley Act of 1930? Well, listen, I don't have time to teach history. But let's suffice it to say, it pushed for higher tariffs to protect domestic farmers. Now, more than 1,000 economists protested that bill, which amped up tariffs on foreign exports to the U.S. by about 20%. Does that all sound familiar to you? Well, yeah, because we're on the verge of another ill-conceived trade war. The administration has signed steep new tariffs against Canada, Mexico, and China, even though the Mexico ones have been pushed back for 30 days. Those three countries are biggest trading partners. Well, guess what else, Kristen? Despite campaign promises saying that he would end inflation and bring down grocery prices, the president is now saying, quote unquote, there will be some pain, but it will, quote, be worth it, end quote, people will understand. All I understand is that consumers will get screwed, with experts saying that the average household will lose roughly $1,245 in income this year if only some of us had read up on tariffs before November. Oh, and by the way, if you need a drink after hearing this news, get it now, because Canadian whiskey, tequila, limes, and other cocktail makings are going to cost a lot more down the road.
Well, did you also hear that in other trade news that doesn't involve avocados or automobiles, the Mavericks, as in the Dallas Mavericks, traded Luka Doncic this weekend to the Lakers for Anthony Davis in a shocking swap of superstars. So this happened on Saturday, and ESPN reported that Doncic, who's 25, and his two of his Dallas Mavericks teammates were being traded to the LA Lakers in exchange for Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 first round draft pick. So throughout Saturday, there was a meltdowns on the internet. Bill Simmons did an emergency pod. Players on, including Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, could be seen during their games checking their phones and like visible shock as far as what this trade meant. And my favorite tweet was one that said, can someone explain this trade in girl terms? And the answer was, Destiny Child just traded Beyonce for TLC to TLC for Chili. And so for the girls who get that one, that was a good one.
Good on you. Kristen, have you heard about the unelected immigrant billionaire who was granted access to the Treasury Department system responsible for trillions of dollars in government payments, including Social Security checks and tax refunds? Well, yet on Friday, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent granted Elon Musk and members of his Doge team access to the system. A longtime official who oversaw the Treasury and was reluctant to turn over the sensitive information to the richest man in the world and his associates suddenly resigned on the same day Bessent handed the keys to Musk. Coincidence? You decide. Politico described Musk's access as quote-unquote read-only, but critics, and anyone with a brain, are concerned about political appointees meddling in a system historically monitored by career civil servants without political affiliations, and Musk and his allies being able to acquire information to aid their own business interests. No kidding.
In case you didn't hear and needed a little bit of a distraction last night, the Grammys were on last night. And so Miley Cyrus showed up with a jellyfish haircut while Jaden Smith wore a castle on his head. Taylor Swift wore a tea chain around her high thigh. And the internet fought over the fact, is that a tea for Taylor or a tea for Travis? Kanye West and his wife, his wife wore pretty much nothing.
Oh.
It was I'm pretty sure that should have been a not safe for work warning sign as far as what she wore before they got ejected from the Grammys. Inside the theater, Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars delivered a heartfelt duet tribute to Los Angeles. Beyonce finally won her first album of the year award and best country album. So take that, CMAs. Doechii made history as only the third woman to ever win best rap album. And she brought the audience to its feet with her amazing speech. Kendrick Lamar took home the most awards last night for his Drake diss track, Not Like Us, sweeping 5 categories, which is a great primer because he is the Super Bowl show this weekend.
All right, Kristen, have you heard that if you don't like the message, you should get rid of the messenger? Well, that seems to be the lesson to take from the Defense Department, who, under new Secretary Pete Hegseth, drink when you hear his name, he is, has booted major news outlets, NBC, Politico, NPR, and the New York Times, all critical of the current president, with relatively small and ardently pro-Trump media outlets like One American Network and Breitbart. HuffPost is replacing Politico, but oddly enough, They don't have any working journalists at the Pentagon, so an extra break room, I guess. The Defense Department calls this a normal, quote, year-by-year rotation, but critics are calling it the beginning of state-run media. Members of the Pentagon Press Corps were left wondering why the Times, NBC, NPR, and Politico were told to vacate the office space and whether the decisions were related to their rigorous coverage of the new Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth.
You think?
I'm feeling like a trend that's happening between your stories versus my stories.
I'm outraged.
All right. Well, the only other thing, did you hear that the only other thing that DPW Chair Ben Wickler is celebrating today is just his birthday, because Ken Martin, chair of the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party, was elected to lead the Democratic National Committee over the weekend, comfortably beating Wickler. Martin received, this is what I don't get, 246.5 votes. So I don't know how you get a half a vote, but Wickler got 134.5 votes. And so now Martin is in charge, and we'll see what he can do for the lost, I would say, National Democratic Party, and try to pick up the pieces. And as for Ben Wickler, happy birthday, Ben.
Happy birthday.
And I guess he's in his seat till June to help Democrats, I guess, elect Susan Crawford.
All right, and finally, have you heard that it's been a horrible week for nervous flyers? 2 days after the fatal crash between a commercial airliner and a military helicopter over the Potomac, a medical transport plane carrying six people crashed into a Philadelphia neighborhood Friday night. Seven people died, one bystander also died, and 22 people were injured. The Learjet 55 was heading to Missouri on its way to Mexico. One of the passengers was a child who had spent months in the hospital. Also, on Friday night, oh my goodness, two people were injured at Chicago's O'Hare Airport during an accident on the ground involving an airplane preparing for takeoff and an employee shuttle bus. American Eagle Flight 6209, operated by Air Wisconsin Airlines, made contact with the bus while the plane was taxiing. And then, yesterday, a United flight heading to New York from Houston had to be evacuated with what the media was calling a quote-unquote engine issue. Turns out the issue was that the engine had burst into flames. Call Amtrak. I'm taking the train.
And then one final story, just because it has something to do with things flying through the sky and possibly crashing into the earth. There is possibly, there's a 1.3% chance of an asteroid striking Earth on December 22nd, 2032, scientists warned last week. But don't panic. As scientists refine their forecast, the chance of impact could reach zero. And then even if it did hit us, it's not big enough to wipe out civilization.
That's the saddest part of the story. Well, that's
Woo!
It.
Woo! That was a lot of news.
That was a lot of news.
A lot of news for one weekend, a lot of news for one segment.
Yes, it was. What are we doing when we come back?
We're going to talk about which animals saw their shadow yesterday. Because some did, some didn't. What does it mean? I don't know. Still feels, it was still gray and rainy today. So stay with us on Spanning the State.
Hey, I got a day named after me, February 2.
All right, yesterday was Groundhog's Day. How did our local and national rodent weather forecasters do?
Well, they weren't all rodents.
Oh, that's true. Here in Milwaukee, they were not.
They were not. They were Nigerian dwarf goats who were stepping in for the groundhogs this weekend. And the goats did not see their shadows, thereby predicting an early spring. But that is, of course, in contrast with our little friendly friend over in Pennsylvania, who your daughter got to see, right?
My daughter and her fiance, that's still weird to say, went to Gobbler's Knob, my favorite town name. Why can't Wisconsin have one so we could spin the state and land on Gobbler's Knob? She said it was insane how many people were there at the crack of dawn to see Punxsutawney Phil come out.
Like, give an estimate of when.
She said a few thousand.
What?
Thousands.
Really?
Yeah, she said thousands.
And how long does the whole ordeal last?
Not long. A couple minutes. I mean, I've seen it on TV. The guy in a top hat and
is there,
reaches in. And
like, food trucks there? Like, do they make an event out of it? So the thing that, like, obviously the action of seeing Phil come out and see his shadow, that only lasts a couple minutes. But is there more to do?
It's a whole big thing.
Okay, we drove all this way only to turn right back around.
It's a rodent festival.
So Jimmy and Punxsutawney Phil disagreed on the forecast. So what happens now? But I guess this is, so I found this out. So Phil Phil's predictions are correct only 35% of the time.
He's getting old. I don't, you know, they better drag him out. There was a big consternation in Pennsylvania yesterday. The governor came out and said, we will not retire Punxsutawney Phil because they don't want to come into the same situation we're at here in Milwaukee. We're now going to have dwarf goats wandering around and penguins and orangutans predicting the weather.
I kind of like the rotation of different animals. Like, can we get a primate next year?
That would be fun. At least we could kind of tell if they saw their shadow. The goat was a non-event.
Yeah.
They all ran out. There was no any sound. They were like, what are they doing? I don't know. Somebody said, it's early spring. What? How do you know?
What has there ever been an early spring in Wisconsin? Like, what is early spring actually? Like the criteria for it.
I don't know. It was 50 the other day. That would have counted as an early spring, but it was January. So I don't think we can jump the gun.
All right. Well, when we come back, we are going to dive into some Wisconsin Black history because it is indeed Black History Month. But first, ABC News and local headlines here on WTMJ.
And Spanning the State is back. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry. And did Trump cancel Black History Month? No, he did not. But that was literally something that was getting Googled this weekend because it's a little bit more complicated than that. So White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said Friday the president planned to sign a proclamation declaring February as Black History Month, as every president has done since 1976. And he did. However, the proclamation follows the rollback of all diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in federal government, and a notice from the Department of Defense declaring, quote, identity months dead. So the Defense Intelligence Agency ordered a pause of all activities and events related to Martin Luther King Day, Jr. Day, Black History Month, Juneteenth, LGBTQ Pride Month, Holocaust Remembrance Day, and other special observances to comply with President Donald Trump's executive order.
What, to keep everything white?
Well, it was 11 observances that are now banned. And so I guess as a general public, Black History Month is on. But for the federal agencies, it's not something that they are going to acknowledge internally anymore, I guess is how that works. But here on Spanning the State,
yeah, we're still celebrating Black History Month.
And
all right.
Oh, you is that more news that you missed from over the weekend?
No, I saw a bunch of memes about it, and I thought, well, this sounds right, but I wasn't stating it as fact until but it is that was an actual memo, and let's just lump all those 11 together. See it. We'll play a Sesame Street game. I won't help you. I won't give you the answers. You at home or in your car, try to find the commonality among all 11 of those things.
I think also on there was Women's History Month, which is next month.
Well, sure. March. You're part of the group.
So, yeah, it's basically, it's anything with identity, right?
Yeah. God forbid.
But anyways.
But St. Patrick's Day, I'm happy to say, is still happening. So I'll see y'all on the 17th.
I'm expecting a costume from you on St. Patrick's Day. It's on a Monday.
It is on a Monday.
I want you to be in full
regalia.
Yes.
Kilt?
Yes.
The whole nine?
Anything, whatever family heirlooms that have been passed down from the Noonans, I want on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, sure.
But today, I mean,
it's Black History Month.
It's Black History Month. So let's talk about some Black history.
Yeah, let's do it.
And in fact, this is my pitch that I do every year. If you... Derek Mosley, I don't think he's been on the show since you've joined, but Judge Derek Mosley, beloved character in Milwaukee, he every year posts a Black History fact on his social media accounts, so either Facebook or Instagram, every day, and it's always a very good follow.
Nice.
So if you find yourself on Instagram or Facebook, I would definitely recommend going and following Derek Mosley to educate yourself this month, because there's a lot of Black history that we don't know, right? Like, we had about a month-ish ago. Was that in December that we had John Gerta on?
Yes.
Yes. So John Gerta came on, who's, very well-known Milwaukee historian, and he was talking about the fact that he now has done a series of presentations.
Yeah, town hall kind of things.
On specifically Milwaukee Black history and how well it's been received. Yeah. And so after that, because he mentioned the story of Joshua Glover.
Right, which I had not heard of till the RNC.
Yes. And so, and then we had a director who's making a documentary about Joshua Glover reach out to us.
Yes.
And say, I would love to tell, go into deeper detail over what this story is, what the documentary is. And so on the other side of this, we're going to talk to the director of Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover story. So stay tuned for that.
It is, in fact, Spanning the State. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry. And last month, we had John Gerter on to talk about his new sessions that he's been doing, where he gives lectures about Milwaukee Black history. And he briefly mentioned the story of Joshua Glover. And it turns out there is a new full-length documentary project in the works called Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover Story. And so joining us now to talk about the film and what it's been, what it's take to continue to make it is the film's director, Michael Jarre. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Michael.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So remind everyone the story of Joshua Glover.
Yeah, it's kind of an amazing story that very few people know, and that's what's kind of sad, and that's why we're trying to revive it. But Joshua Glover was a fugitive slave. He escaped from a farm in St. Louis, Missouri in 1852 and managed to find his way to Racine, almost 400 miles away. The abolitionist community there welcomed him. He found a job. He found a place to live in Racine. And he lived for 2 years. And you can imagine what this is like after, you know, being a slave your entire life. Lived for 2 years in freedom, earning money and having a place to live and making friends and living, you know, a normal life. But his slave owner in Missouri continued to search for him. And after 2 years, tracked him down. So this guy, Benamy Garland is his name, he comes up to Milwaukee, he gets a warrant for Joshua Glover's arrest, puts together a posse, they go down to Racine, they knock on Joshua Glover's door at night, when the door is open, they rush in, they beat him up, they shackle him, they throw him in a freezing cold wagon, the back of a wagon, and cart him off to Milwaukee and throw him in jail there. So the word of this gets out. Joshua Glover had been playing cards with friends when the posse broke in. One of his friends crawled out a window and went and alerted the abolitionist community in Racine that Joshua had been arrested. So they sent a telegram up to Milwaukee to an abolitionist newspaper editor whose name was Sherman Booth. And Sherman Booth gets on the back of a horse, kind of like Paul Revere, and rides through the streets of Milwaukee calling for people to come out on behalf of Joshua Glover. He was saying, come to the courthouse, a man's liberty is at stake. Well, 5,000 people showed up outside the courthouse on a cold March day in 1854, and it was actually very orderly. They put together committees, and they gave speeches, and they drafted resolutions, but basically they were saying, this man needs to be given due process, and he needs to be released. Under the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, the officials could not release him. They had to return him by federal law to slavery. So eventually the crowd grabbed a beam from the cathedral. It's now in Cathedral Square. It used to be called Courthouse Square. But they grabbed a beam from the construction site of the cathedral, and they used that beam to batter down the courthouse door.
Wow.
They rushed in. They grabbed Joshua Glover. They took him out to a carriage that was waiting, and they cheered and celebrated like he was a conquering hero, and then they whisked him off, and they hid him in the Underground Railroad in people's homes and barns and attics. For several weeks while officials tried to track him down, and then eventually they got him on a ship going out of Racine Harbor to Canada. They smuggled him out, and Glover managed to live the rest of his life. He lived to be about 80 years old in freedom in the Toronto area.
Wow.
It is a fascinating story, and it sounds like it will make a fascinating documentary. You already did a mini documentary that you released in July. It showed here in July. What part of the story did the mini documentary tell, and how much more? I can only imagine how much more expansive the full length one will be in telling this story.
Sure. There is a 12-minute documentary that's at our website, which is www.las, as in Liberty at Stake, lasfilm.com. Anybody can go and watch that. It is just sort of a nutshell, just a very quick encapsulation of the story. And what we're doing with the longer film is we're actually going to kind of begin in St. Louis and talk to experts there and kind of track, you know, Joshua Glover's movements from St. Louis to Racine. How does anybody travel 400 miles with no map? You can only travel at night. You can't ask anybody for food or drink, you know, and just the courage that it took to do that. And then we want to, you know, go to Toronto. There's actually a park dedicated to Joshua Glover with a monument in it. And we want to talk to experts and authors and kind of flesh out the entirety of the story. And there's so much more to it. It you know, the Joshua Glover story by itself is amazing, but it had a catalyst effect on other events. So 9 days after his rescue in Ripon, Wisconsin, about 50 people gathered at the Little White Schoolhouse in Ripon and said, we need a new anti-slavery party in this state. And they came out calling themselves Republicans. And it was really the first time that any group had called themselves Republicans in the nation. And obviously, just a few years later, Abraham Lincoln would be the Republican candidate for president. And then he would, you know, his election would lead to Southern secession and civil war and eventually emancipation. So there's just a lot of elements. And the state Supreme Court, actually, some of the rescuers were tried for violating the Fugitive Slave Act, and they were jailed. They lost their businesses. This went on for 6 years, but eventually the state Supreme Court in Wisconsin said the Fugitive Slave Act is unconstitutional and we're not going to enforce it. We were the only state to do that.
Well, I do that part. Does it surprise you that we don't learn this history more in, you know, Wisconsin state history? Because I don't remember learning this at all as a kid.
Yeah, that's... I've talked to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people about this, not only in Wisconsin, but, you know, in, kind of across the nation. And I would say that probably maybe 1 or 2% of the people I ever talked to have any familiarity with this story.
Yeah.
Which is why we just thought it's so important to tell it. And especially for young people to kind of hear, you know, that there was this effort by blacks and whites working together, unifying to make sure that not only did he not get, you know, returned to slavery, but that he was hidden from, you know, federal officials. People put him in their own homes and, so it's just a very powerful story of, you know, unity and the hunger for liberty and the desire for, you know, really taking a stand against what people saw as, you know, an unconstitutional, you know, abridgment of an individual's rights. And we call it liberty at stake, not only because Joshua Glover's liberty was at stake in that particular event, but 4 million other black Americans, their liberty was at stake. And it really, you know, was the formation of the Republican Party, the election of Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War, all these things that eventually led to the emancipation and eventual elimination of slavery in America.
Michael, if people want to donate to help get the film made or they just want more information, tell us again where they can go.
Absolutely. This is a nonprofit, so any donations would be considered tax exempt. And our website is lasfilm.com. It's LAS as in Liberty at Stake, film.com. We also have a Give Butter site. So if you go to Give Butter and then just type / Liberty at Stake, that will take you to our donation page as well. But we, if you think that this is an important story and you'd like to help us tell it, we can really use the help. So please do visit our website, check it out, and make a donation if you can.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Michael Jarre is the director of Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover story. Again, that website is lasfilm.com if you want to check out more there or see the 12-minute documentary that they've already made. So we're going to have more. We're going to guess whose birthday it is today, besides Ben Winkler, since we already talked about that, after this on Spanning the State.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News is here for you, bringing you the latest headlines with John McCure.
Wanted to get you some information on the shooting suspect in that United Healthcare CEO shooting that took place in New York.
And diving into the details with Julia Fellow.
Charged with murder as an act of terrorism, kind of bizarre when I saw that.
Tune in to Wisconsin's Afternoon News, where your day's story unfolds. Weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m. Only here on WTMJ.
Get out and enjoy your yard. Outdoor Living Unlimited puts cool stuff in your yard. Patios, decks, pergolas, outdoor kitchens, screen rooms, even in-ground pools. You dream it, we design it together, then Outdoor Living Unlimited installs it for you. OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com.
Ooh, I'm excited because Kristen is going to try to stump me.
All right, so I saw this morning. It was just too silly not to include as we, you know, round out the first hour
rage.
Of today's show. Yeah, you know, it's an opposite bookend from where we started the show today as far as trying to rehash the weekend news. Some of it was fun. Some of it was not.
That's right.
But this is very fun. All right. All right. So this is going to be like Tribon when we played, which is when you get three clues. And you get more points if you get it earlier.
Well, in Tribon, it's you get three clues. You got to tell us what they have in common.
Oh, no. That's all right. So this isn't it. This is not what that is, though.
So if I get it, it's like name that tune. So if I get it in one clue, do I
get
win something bigger?
You get extra pats on the back.
Oh, all right.
All right. So today is a very special someone's birthday.
Okay.
And February 3rd. And it's a fictional character.
Oh.
So we'll start there.
All right.
I will give you, so I'll have three different clues.
Okay.
I think by the third one, you'll guess it.
I hope.
But this is the first clue.
Yeah.
He's 3.5 years old, and he's been 3.5 years old since his first appearance in 1980.
Is it Calvin?
It is not Calvin. All right. Second clue. He refers to himself in the third person.
Fictional character refers to himself in the third person, 3.5 years old.
No, it's not Yoda, because Yoda's like 300 years old.
Is it Captain Underpants?
It's not Captain Underpants. Who's Captain Underpants?
Who's SpongeBob? Captain Underpants?
SpongeBob?
Captain Underpants is the focus of a huge children's book series.
Oh.
Huge.
I haven't gotten that far with Frankie yet.
No.
All right. Third one. Last year, he went mega viral for asking everyone how they were doing on social media.
It's Elmo. It's Elmo's birthday.
Happy birthday, Elmo.
Very nice, Elmo. Happy birthday, buddy.
He also got very mad at Rock. River Rocco, because rocks don't have feelings because it's just a rock.
That's right. Well, can you blame him? I think we're all mad at some rocks.
I saw that this morning in one of my newsletters when I get my roundup. And I was like, well, that's kind of a fun.
That is very fun.
I don't know how, if you never get older, and if he's always 3.5, what's the point of having a birthday?
That's true. Wow. Now you're going deep.
Now I'm going existential.
Yeah, you get too,
I'm
wow.
very meta on this whole
what
thing.
What is the meaning
of
Elmo's
birthday?
Of
a birthday when you never age?
Wow. I don't know. But we all need a little more Elmo in our life, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
That was good. I was like 3.5. I guess I know Elmo is supposed to be very young, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I ever knew his exact age.
I didn't
age.
Know that either. And Calvin, I think, is Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
I feel like he's too naughty to only be 3.5. He's very mischievous. I feel like he's like an 8-year-old.
I was trying to think of a fictional child. That's why.
Okay.
And I knew it wasn't Harry Potter. So I don't know. I don't know a lot of fictional children. So I went with the top of my head was
James
Calvin.
From the Giant Peach.
Never read it.
Oh.
No. I'm busy reading Captain Underpants. I don't have time
Apparently.
For James and the Giant Peach. No, if I had a dollar for every kid when I was teaching that was reading Captain Underpants, I could take a week off without
really?
Paying.
Really? How have I never heard of this
it's
book?
It's huge.
It's so good. How do you know this book? You don't have any. We read it in school.
It's been around for a while. This
really?
Is not, yes.
Oh, and now I know what I'm doing when the news is happening at the top of the hour.
I think they're coming out with a movie. I think there's a Captain Underpants movie coming out, right?
They had two movies, and now I think they're doing a TV show.
Yeah. Wow. I can't believe, Rhea, that you and I have a cultural reference that Kristen does not know. This is a first. Mark the tape.
Hell is frozen over.
Yeah.
All right. We got to take a break so I can figure out who Captain Underpants is. And when we come back, we will spin around the state on Spanning the State.